You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
For our catch-up, I spoke to Karen Chua about the IRD's High Wealth Individuals Report, Chris Hipkins announcing that the government would not implement any capital gains tax, wealth tax, or cyclone tax in this year's budget, and the government's call for cross-party support on a possible congestion charging scheme. Here is that interview. Last week, the Prime Minister announced that the government would not implement any capital gains tax, wealth tax, or cyclone tax in this year's budget. What do you think about this decision?
We're actually quite pleased with that decision, because now's not the time to be introducing that kind of tax policy, especially when people are just struggling to keep their heads above water. So we're very glad that this budget is going to hopefully concentrate on the most important things at the moment, and that is making sure that Kiwis can put food on their table.
Also last week, the Inland Revenue Department released a report which found that the 311 wealthiest individuals in this country pay less than half the amount of tax on all their income compared to the average New Zealander. Do you think that this is fair?
Look, in order to be fair, we need to realise that the Inland Revenue Report was only one of three reports that have been released in the last few weeks. So there have also been two other reports. The first report was from Oliver Shaw, by tax accountants Oliver Shaw. The second report was the Treasury Report, and then we had the IRD report. So the first two reports showed that 21% of taxpayers that earn over $70,000 are paying 68% of the tax in this country. So we need to kind of look at this in perspective. We have these big clickbait headlines saying rich people aren't paying enough tax. But what did the IRD actually look into? And we also need to realise that IRD were given $5 million of taxpayer money to produce a report which asked quite a suggestive question, which was around how much have those 311 wealthy people, how much have their assets increased? And so they were looking at paper increases as well. So, do we really think that taxing on paper income is the best way to look at it, considering that that can go up and down quite dramatically? So there's a lot to pick out of the Inland Revenue Report, and a lot of it is seeing the government wanting to look at taxing people on paper gains, and that's quite a scary thought.
So that IRD report looks at capital gains tax, which is largely untaxed in Aotearoa, and that's income from businesses, property, and other investments. So what do you believe is the justification for those capital gains to go largely untaxed?
Yeah, if you were going to introduce a capital gains tax, and the way they were looking at it, we're looking at taxing paper gain as well. And this could affect not just those ultra-rich, it could affect just the average New Zealander as well. And we need to be careful with how we're looking at that. And an example that we've used, if you had a medium house price that rose $135,000 in a year, which is what's been happening, The capital gains on that would be around $45,000, and your average New Zealander who's just bought a home, who's going up in prices like that, would not be able to afford that kind of tax. And then the next year, if that goes down in value, is Inland Revenue going to give a credit for the losses? And are we going to look at crediting losses on paper gains as well? And it gets kind of complicated. But if people think that this is only going to aim at the top 300 in this country, they'll be sorely disappointed, and a lot of average New Zealanders that are just trying to stick their head down, bum up, and get ahead in life will be affected by this too.
The average New Zealander wouldn't be paying $45,000 in tax. So you've said that you want to help middle income earners, but Revenue Minister David Parker has said that the data from this report has showed fundamental unfairness, and that citizens like nurses and school teachers and hospitality workers, small business owners, the middle income earners are paying a much higher effective tax rate than their wealthier fellow New Zealanders. So why then does your party support a system where middle income earners are paying the most tax?
Yeah, look, we agree that the tax rate that those people are paying is absolutely unfair. I mean, this government has brought in record amount of tax take because the tax rates haven't changed, and people moving up into that $70,000 tax bracket are actually paying a huge chunk of tax, and we do agree with that, and that's what our tax policy looks into, making sure that those people that are sticking their heads down, bum up, and just trying to get on with life aren't paying that ridiculously high rate of tax.
I want to touch on something you said last week, which is that you didn't quite understand how taxing the super wealthy would help the poor. Why do you believe this?
Yeah, like I just said before, we can bring in record amounts of tax, which this government has already done, but we're not seeing results of poverty being fixed, are we? You can't just tax the rich and say that that's going to fix poverty. It's where the money is going, and we're already collecting record amounts of tax, and we need to look at where that money is going and making sure it's actually going to where it's needed the most. Taxing the rich, great, it sounds good, it makes people feel better, but does it actually make a difference?
It's been projected that by this report that Aotearoa is potentially missing out on more than $1 billion of tax revenue. Is this a missed opportunity then to improve Aotearoa's public infrastructure?
Hey, look, there's lots of ways that we can look at our infrastructure, and we've had this conversation before, is around where the money's going, and it's around how the government is distributing some of this tax, and especially when it comes to our GST. And so we've had policies, and we're debating policies in Parliament at the moment. Brooke Van Velden is currently got a bill up that would share the GST from new builds to provide for infrastructure within communities. And there are lots of other different ways that Act has looked at how we would fix that. And those are all on our website if people want to know more.
And your party has criticised this report as being an example of tall poppy syndrome. This has been criticised, the stance, as being deflecting from the issue. Do you think that you are deflecting from the main issue that this report brings up?
No, I think that it is a pile-on. It's telling people their problems are caused by successful people who, and these people are paying a huge share of what this country uses for infrastructure and for our social policies. So to say that all the problems are caused by not charging rich people enough tax is a bit disingenuous. There are lots of ways that we can fix the problems, and just chasing down and hunting people that have just become a little bit too successful for the government's liking, I find quite offensive.
So then just to sum up and clarify, you wouldn't support any additional taxes for the ultra-wealthy, but you would maintain the current tax system where middle-income earners are paying the highest effective tax rate?
No, I never said we'd maintain the current tax system. It has an alternative budget, and people are free to look at that on our website to go into more detail. But we do have an alternative budget. We do believe that the tax system is unfair at the moment for a lot of people who are paying far more tax than they need to. And people are we encourage people to have a look at our alternative budget online.
So you would support lowering taxes people pay, but that middle income group would still be paying the highest effective tax rate, even with tax cuts?
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know how many times I can say that, you know, what we really need to concentrate on is how we're spending that tax money to make sure that it is going to the right places so that the people that need it the most and the people that are struggling can afford to put food on their table. And I've gone through how we would do that, and that's our policy.
I also just want to move on to another topic, which is the government's calls for cross-party support on a possible congestion charging scheme in large cities like Auckland or Wellington. Is this something that ACT would support?
Yeah, so I mean, there's been a proposal put up around congestion charging, Land Transport Management Amendment Bill, and we've looked at that, and Act agrees that, you know, we accept charging motorists for using roads at peak times. That could be quite beneficial. But what's been proposed, we don't see how this is going to achieve what the government is saying they're trying to achieve. So the congestion charge proposed would add an additional cost to motorists and road users that would not necessarily create any additional capacity on the roads or better roads or less congestion, really, because the money that's being brought in from those charges aren't actually going to be put back into those roads. They could be used for all kinds of things, and it's really unclear and extremely vague about where that money is going to go. So ACT has an alternative policy around congestion and how we could improve our roads, but we're looking forward to listening to what the government's trying to propose, and we're looking forward to hearing more about how they can make it a bit more clear on where those charges and levies are going to go, because this is an additional cost onto motorists, and many already can't afford the fuel in their car. So we need to make sure that it is actually going to achieve something.
National has said that they would support congestion charging if the 10 cent per litre fuel tax is scrapped. Is this something that ACT would call for as well?
Yeah, so that's also part of our alternative proposal, looking at different ways that we could achieve this and replacing fuel taxes, because you can't have both. Adding that additional cost could just cripple some of the people who we're trying to help the most in this country. So we need to make sure that we're finding a balance and we're not outpricing people so that they can't even afford to get on the road.
Scrapping the fuel tax could mean that more people would be incentivised to use a private vehicle, I guess, therefore potentially not reducing congestion. Can you explain how ACT would instead reduce congestion?
Yeah, it should be focusing people on reconsidering their travel they're focusing on people reconsidering their travel habits. A congestion charge, let's be honest, is about raising revenue so that you can come up with alternatives and a solution to the congestion problem. And if you're not going to be putting the funds raised into specific areas to change the problem, then we're actually not going to get anywhere. So we need to make sure that the levy that is set, if they are going to do this, actually comes up with solutions to the problem, whether it be specifically put into land transport for better buses or better roads, more lanes. They need to be a bit more clear about where this revenue is going to be going.
So would ACT then support investing in public transport to make it more reliable and potentially affordable for people?
Yeah, so ACT has an alternative solution. It's replacing fuel taxes with road pricing, and we think that it'd be a bit more fair and that we'd be able to allocate the money into things like that to allow people to have more choice. It would allow transport operators to plan transport demand down to the minute because they know where people are and what people are doing, and they'd be able to provide signals to councils where new roads and public transport services are needed. And I think this is a better way to achieve the goal that this government is trying to achieve.
That was ACT's Karen Chua discussing capital gains tax and congestion charges.
That was our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Karen Chua.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.